Hey, good evening, everybody. My name is. No, I didn't do anything. We're so used to saying good morning because every Sunday morning we have an 8 a.m. service that occasionally I'll say good morning, but we do the call on the 15th of the month, 6 p.m. Pacific time, and we've been doing this for over a decade, and we're going to continue to do it as long as we have the strength and the ability to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what God has called us to do, and that's why we do this. We don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the prestige. We don't do it for a lot of other things you could think of. We do it simply because we feel called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So good evening, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the call. I'm Donna Schuller. This is Robert Schuller. This is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. We've been doing the call, like Robert said, for over a decade, and it's just part of what we do, aside from the Sunday morning, aside from traveling and reaching out to people that way, and the online coaching, counseling, things we do, and we love this call. We really do. We usually, some of the time now, we have a guest. And we do have a great guest that is scheduled for October 15th. Dr. Jeff Barkey will be talking about health myths. And he's an MD.
Myths. Did I say M-Y-T-H-S?
M-Y-T-H-S, right. Things people believe that are healthy that aren't. Or people believe, you know, I mean, so much of us believe what we read instead of what we see and what we know in our brain, what we see with our own eyes. And that's become a real problem in society, health and the body, mind, and soul. So we like to switch off between talking about the health of the spirit, the health of the emotions, your mental health, and the health of the body, the physical body, because it's all three in one. You know, God created this that way, right? Body, mind, soul, just like He's a Trinity, he's a triune God, right?
Well, I had a daily radio show for 5 years, daily meeting Monday through Friday. I had, excuse me. No, this is terrible. I had a daily health show. Well, not exactly. What it was called Balance for Life. And it really, so I'd spend one day talking with a professional in spiritual matters, so another pastor or a spiritual leader. Another day talking with somebody who would be more in the psychological realm as far as the mental health and wellness is concerned. And then another day talking about health, physical health. And I just noticed that the more I talked about physical health, the more people listened and the more questions and the more engaged people got. And so I started having more health people. And until I got basically a health message all the time. So anyway, now I've
got a book 22 years ago called Possibility Living, right? Years to Your Life and Life to Yours. So we've been at this a long time. Unfortunately, he's got a little bit of a cough. We just got back from grandchildren.
I had grandchildren.
We were in Florida with three of our nine grandchildren, and we babysat them for, actually it turned out to be almost 6 days because their parents' flight was delayed on the way back. And we had a wonderful time, but you know, they just started school. And so kids go back to school and then they contact all these new little bugs, little colds that other kids pick up because of their summer travels. And then they bring them back to us. So far, so good for me. I don't seem to have a cough, a cold or anything, but you never know. So that's why, you know, that, you know, it's a lot about your immune system and keeping yourself healthy, because if it wasn't about your immune system, why is it that he doesn't come down with a cold and then immediately I come down with one and vice versa, or stomach ache, or anytime.
We sleep in the same bed, so I'm breathing on her all night long.
So it's very interesting when people say, oh, don't shake my hand, don't do this, don't breathe on me, don't sneeze on me. Yes, I mean, germs travel, things travel, but you're not necessarily going to get something just because your husband has it, your wife has it, your child has it, your grandchild has it, whatever. It depends on where you are and how well you're eating. And we won't go into what kind of cookies you were eating when I wasn't eating. But I'm just giving him a hard time. But it has a lot to do with, you know, how much water you drink, what kind of vitamins you get in your food naturally, minerals, kind of exercise you do to keep yourself mentally healthy and strong, and more importantly, spiritually. You know, everything starts from a spiritual basis. So anyway.
So what I want to do is talk about seasons. And there is like a cold season. Mm-hmm. You've heard that, or a flu season. And in fact, every fall they call it a flu season. It's because there's a new flu that comes around and we're exposed to it. So what I want to do is read from Ecclesiastes 3. And I'm going to start reading at the first verse, because it is a season and a time for everything. So there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to uproot. Time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain for their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Thank you, God, for these words. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can gather together through these mediums of social media platforms around the world. And so we pray that you will give us direction, guidance, understanding, and clarity of vision to be able to realize that there is a season for everything. And so we thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Amen. I love that passage of scripture. You know, it's a good reminder that, you know, we do go through seasons, and it's not just the four seasons we know of. We go through seasons in our life. Happiness and joy and sorrow and pain, and you know, life is just like that, right? It's just up and down, and there's joys in being young, there's joys in being older, there's challenges in both. And I know for us, it's just, you know, having 9 grandchildren, 4 adult married children,
all married with kids.
Yeah, it's just really, really great to see, you know, to look back at some of the seasons we've had, and to see these adults that have grown into these amazing, or these children that have grown into these amazing adults, and now they're raising their own children. And I think one of the things we're most proud of is that our kids each have their own faith community, their own church, and they're raising their children in the church, and they, you know, they pray with their children, they read devotionals with their children. You know, each family is different and unique, but all of them love God. They love Jesus. And I feel like they're doing what we did. And that is, obviously, you're an ordained pastor, and they grew up with a dad as a pastor. And we have one son, Bobby, who's a pastor. So his family kind of doesn't have a choice. But that's how I felt our kids would have felt like. I mean, that's what I think our kids should have felt like sometimes, is, oh my gosh, we have to go to church again. But we never got that. I never had that attitude ever once when they were growing up, like, oh no, we have to go to church again. And
when we're on vacations, we'd go to church, wouldn't complain. They always look forward to it. In fact, they would ask us, so where are we going to get to go to church?
Exactly.
When we're in whatever it is.
Wherever we were. We were on a ski trip, we'd go to church. When we were In Hawaii, we go to church, wherever we were. And we've just, that's just the way we brought the kids up, and that they look forward to it. They love doing it. And so, I don't know, I think that's one of the things we did right somehow. We weren't legalistic about it. We weren't, I don't know.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems that I've seen in our generation, it was that our generation decided to let their children choose for themselves what kind of faith they would have and what kind of relationship they would have with God. And they didn't take them to church. And this is a generalization. And as a result of that, they grew up basically without any relationship with God. So that would be the children of our generation, which would be the X's and the Z generation. And today, their children are atheists for the most part, and that's the Z generation. And now it is time for God and time for us to be able for tremendous revival. And I see it happening across America, because what happens is the pendulums swing. There's seasons for everything. And we've had this season, okay, let's let children decide for themselves how they're going to have a relationship with God, if they're going to have a relationship with God, if they're going to be Christian or Buddhist, if they're going to be Muslim or Jewish, yeah, or Hindu or whatever it is. It's like, that is not the way to lead and guide your children in one of the most important decisions they have to make. Mm-hmm. We need to give them direction. Our children crave for that. And I know that that's one of the things we did absolutely, completely, 100% correct. If you ask me what am I most proud of in my life, it is our children and now our grandchildren, because our children are raising their kids with a firm understanding and relationship with Jesus and with God. And one of the things that's unique about the denomination that I was raised in, because not all churches do this, but many churches do, about half the churches do, half of them don't, and that is we baptize infants, mm-hmm. babies. And so all of my babies were in yours too. All of our babies were.
Mine, you're right. Mine and yours.
So all of our babies were baptized as infants, as babies. And part of that, the Catholic Church does that, Presbyterian churches do it, your Reformed churches do it, but your Baptist churches don't, and most of your charismatic churches don't. So that represents about half and half of the churches in America today, or the world, I should say, baptize infants. Now, what's the difference between baptizing them and just dedicating them? When we baptize a child, what we're doing is we're making a pledge, and the pledge is that we are dedicating these children to God, and as they are baptized, they're receiving the sign and seal of God's love on themselves, just like a circumcision would be on an infant. And that was the original sign and seal of God upon his children. In Judaism, it was circumcision. And today we've replaced that circumcision with baptism. So what that does is it is a promise from God that he will call him back into the faith and back into the church. So I think that's a really important thing for us to do as parents, as churchmen, as people of God, is if you're not going to baptize your children, absolutely 100% dedicate them and have go through the dedication, because it's not quite the same thing, but it's a lot better than doing nothing at all. And the promise is when we do that, we promise that we raise these children to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And that's what we did.
So that's what I was hoping you would address, is that, I mean, is it better to not baptize them, not dedicate them, yet teach them about Jesus and take them to Sunday school every Sunday? Or is it better to baptize them or dedicate them and then forget about it? Because I see a lot of times people, I think there's an idea or a I'll call a misconception that parents can take an infant and have it baptized, and then it's like, okay, we're good to go now. And so you get what I'm saying? And they don't have to teach. So the pledge that in our faith we make is that the baptism to me is as much for the parents as it is for the child,
it's
correct?
It's more for the
because
parents.
God in his mercy, if something happens to an infant, is going to graciously accept that infant in heaven. They're not going to judge an infant. I mean, God judges everybody, but I'm just saying it's more for the parent to make a promise that they're going to raise their child up to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So if they do that, but yet then they get home and they don't.
If they don't fulfill
they just
promise,
forget it. They don't. Yeah, what I'm saying, I would think it's not a judgment on my part. It's just like, how does that work? How does that make a parent feel if they've done that with their child, yet they don't continue, I guess, with the education on who Jesus Christ is? I don't care if it's during, you know, devotional time. Like, we just got back from, like I said, several days with three of our grandchildren. They read a devotional every night called Jesus Calling, and they talk about it, and it's written specifically for children. And then, of course, they say prayers before bedtime. They say prayers at, you know, for thank God for their food. But
and then they go to church every Sunday.
They go to church every Sunday and go to Sunday school and learn more. But for parents that don't do that, but you know they're believers, and they must believe in order to go through the trouble of having their child baptized or christened to begin with. So I don't know, Dean. I guess I'm kind of asking a confusing question.
Well, here's the bottom line. If you have your child dedicated or baptized, you're making a commitment and a profession of your faith, mm-hmm. and you're making a pledge before everybody in that church and before God that you're going to give these children that you have baptized an education and an understanding of who Jesus was and is, and lead them in their personal faith, which means you're probably going to need some guidance in your personal faith as well. So how you decide to fulfill that pledge and that promise is up to you. But I would encourage there's several different ways to do that. Is one, make sure you pray with your children every single night before you put them to bed. Make sure that you, whenever they get hurt or there's a problem throughout the day, you stop and you pray for them and with them. You read the Bible every day. I know as growing up, we read the Bible every morning before we went to school. Then every night at dinner, we'd read the Bible again. When I spent my summers at my uncle's house and his farm, they would read it in the middle of the day. What we would call lunch, they called it dinner. That was their big meal of the day. And then we'd read the Bible then. It doesn't matter when you do it, as long as you make a commitment to do it. So you teach your children to pray, to look to the Bible, to look to God when they have problems, when they have struggles, when they begin their day, when they end their day, so that God becomes and the love of Jesus becomes part of their daily living. And
that's what it is. It just is woven into their day. That's a good way of saying it. It's not like you get baptized, you do all the right stuff, and now you're going to go to heaven. You weave it into your day. That's well said. That's what it is.
And if for some reason that's completely foreign to you and you haven't a clue as to how to do that, one of the things you should probably do is put your kids in a Christian school. I know the Catholic Church is very strong on Catholic schools, and for that reason, they want children to grow up with a full understanding of what Catholicism is and what Christianity is from a Catholic background. Mm-hmm. So they actually consider the tuition in schools as part of the tithe of the members of their church. And so I strongly encourage people to consider doing something like that, because there are seasons in life. And we have seen, and I guess another way to say it is the pendulum swings so far and then it has the tendency to swing back. And I see the pendulum in our society and our culture swinging back away from atheism and away from scientism and away from all the other isms that are drawing people away from God. I see it swinging back to the centrality of the goodness of God and his love for people, because it is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as a result of that, people are coming to the realization, they've looked other places, they've tried atheism, they've tried this, they've tried that, and they've come to the conclusion that they need God, that they need the love of Jesus. And so I continue to pray that God's revival power will continue to pursue and seek his children and his sheep and bring them into the fold.
Well, you know, since we're talking about the pendulum swinging, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say something else. And that is that, look at how different it is in public schools now. I know in California, none of our family members would ever send their kids to public school. In fact, that's one of the reasons.
We pulled ours out when they were very young.
Well, we didn't have all the shenanigans that are going on today.
And it's that much worse.
So it's really bad. I mean, not only do they not talk about God, are they not allowed to pray, but now in California, I didn't really want to go down this road, but since we're talking about it, you mentioned Christian schools. You know, you have to make sure your grandchildren, your godchildren, your children, whoever you have influence over in your life, if you know somebody that has young children and you live in California, or I can't list the rest of the states, there's other states, but since we live in California, you know, not only do they not teach God, and they teach things that are anti-God. They teach that there's, you know, 8 different genders. They teach that you can have a sex change when you're in elementary school and you can do it behind your parents' back. In fact, now there's a law that I think just has to be passed, but it has to be signed into law by the governor that says that if your child is wants to change their sex, and if you try to talk them out of it, this is a small child. This is an elementary school child.
Somebody under the age of 12.
Yes. If your child came home, said they, your little girl came home and said, I really feel like a boy. I want to be a boy. And you want to take them to a counselor and talk them out of it. You can be charged with child abuse. And you can actually risk having your child taken away from you. This is not, I'm not making this up. This is actually passed our Senate already.
It's already on the governor's desk.
It's on the governor's desk to sign into law. So this is what we mean by crazy things. There's a lot of things like that in the state of California. It's very disheartening. So when we talk about the pendulum swinging back, I don't know, it's going to take a lot of really angry, active parents that have had it. And it's going to take, I don't know, people pulling their kids out of school and homeschooling. And, you know, that's really difficult for people that have to work for a husband and a wife both working. How do they school their children? I feel bad because literally some people cannot do this. It's impossible for them to homeschool their child. And by homeschooling, you know, there's all kinds of homeschooling programs now where you get together with a group of parents. And you take turns teaching. There's drop-off programs. There's programs in home. So it's not like you and your child alone, sitting alone all day long, although there is a pattern that looks like that as well.
I've been a strong proponent of a voucher system in school systems for a long time.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do
with happen 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And if you had vouchers, then you, as a parent, would have a choice to take your kid to and use your voucher at the public school or at your private Christian school or any other school you want. You get a voucher that you use to pay for your child's education. And I think that's where we're moving to. It's been brought up a few times, and the more difficult the public schools become, and the more upset parents become in the school board meetings with clear understanding why, the more reasonable a voucher system sounds, and I think needs to be implemented.
Yeah, so, I don't know if that's going to happen in our state. The union is so strong, they'll never go for that.
But the unions are nationwide.
Mm, yeah.
And what it has to take place on a federal level.
We'll
and
see.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't I'm sorry to play the devil's advocate, but I don't see the pendulum swinging in that way at all. It's going the opposite way right now, as far as I see it. It's just getting so, I don't know how much worse it could get in public schools than it is in California. I really don't know how much worse it could get. I don't know. So I think families are hopefully swinging the other way. I know God's at work in this world. I know that Jesus is alive and people are seeking his face. And maybe that's the pendulum swinging, is that things have to get so, so bad before people go, wait a minute. They took religion, they took God out of the schools many, many years ago, and they just continued to take them out more and more and more and more and more.
And they took the Ten Commandments out, mm-hmm. and they took prayer out, and then we wonder why our school systems and our nation has just continued to slide away from God. And so this whole message, what we've been talking about, is really a God calling his people back to him. And I believe that in spite of the fact that we've got these things going on, God's bigger than what we can imagine. He knows exactly what's happening. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And somehow, some way, he's going to make it happen. We need to be responsive. We need to be open. We need to think of new ideas. We need to be responsive and
fearless.
And fearless. Absolutely.
And being outspoken and saying, this is wrong. This is not right. We're not going to put up with this anymore. Even if you're a grandparent, even if you're not the parent, be outspoken. Talk to your kids about this. Ask your kids about the public school system. And if they say, oh, I don't know what they learned, tell them they better check out some of the textbooks, because honestly, the textbooks are so graphic that when a parent, this is a true story, when parents go in to challenge a school board and start reading out loud and showing pictures from the textbook, it's like, please stop, shh,
you're
be
not
quiet.
Allowed to talk about this.
Don't talk about this.
This is not good.
It sounds like pornography. And yet these books are available for little children. So you need
in
to
the libraries.
In the libaries.
School
disgusting.
Libraries. We're talking
horrible
books.
Things that I didn't even hear about till I was in college or older. And now they're available for kids to check out these books. It's insanity. So God's not happy about this.
No, he is not.
So you know, we're talking about seasons. It's summer here still. We live in Southern California. We're still at summer. And we've had kind of a chilly summer. And like I said, we just got back from Florida, which was hot, which we like hot weather. But
if you ever plan to come to Southern California, here's something to know. Mm-hmm. Our summer is about 2 months behind the rest of the nation. So when spring starts in May is fall spring, in Southern California, it's still winter. Mm-hmm. And June is still June gloom. So our summer really doesn't start until the end of July. August and September are two warmest, beautiful months. And October.
Usually.
Yeah, exactly. Except this year. Except this year it's been cloudy all the time. And but I don't think we want to go there.
No, the seasons. But I think what I want to say is that, you know, you have heat, you have cool. Same in your life, you know, things heat up, things cool down, things get frosty if you live in the snow, things get beautiful. The spring always comes, right? The plants look like they're dead, and they're not, because below the ground, there's all those sprouts, and they come up in the spring. And You know, that's our life is like that too, right? A lot of times our dreams die, our hopes die, so our health can turn really, really bad. But you just have faith, you look to Jesus, you trust in God, and you have hope, and you go through these seasons, and it's rough and tough, but you make it through because you tell yourself you're going to make it through, and you do it, and with God's help, you can get through anything. You can even get through raising children.
Yeah. So just want to say that it's always our pleasure and our joy to come to you on the 15th of the month, every month. And we also want to let you know that one of the things we do here is we do collect an offering. And if you can support this ministry, we would really appreciate it. To support this ministry, go to robertschulerministries.org or drschuler.org. It'll take you to the same place. Dr. Schuler is drschuller.org. And I have to spell that out because of the
closed captioning.
Of course, we'll get it wrong.
Spells it out, yeah. And there's a place to give there. There's a little button that says, I'd like to give. That'll only take you a little while. If you don't want to give that way, you can scroll to the very bottom of our homepage or our website. You'll see our address, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. You can write a check. You can also go on Venmo, Robert Schuler Ministries. And just know that we know how to stretch a dime. So all the money that you feel called to give, any gift, any financial gift will be used wisely, and it will be used to tell the world about the love of Jesus and the importance of putting God back in schools. We're very outspoken. If you don't listen on Sunday morning, please listen on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time. My husband has an amazing way of weaving current events and what's going on politically into biblical truths. And he's been doing this now since the beginning of COVID and way before. So March 2020, sort of, you know, went from the normal possibility, thinking, possibility, living, and has started really talking about things that we should all be concerned about, like just what's going on in the government. Why are we getting away? Why are people getting away with putting pornography in our elementary schools? Why and what can we do to stop it? And what does the Bible have to say about this and these kind of things? So we'd love to have you join us on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Pacific. If you're in Southern California, anywhere in Southern California, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we meet at the Newport Beach Civic Center in the community room at 10 a.m. We just have one service, and we are a Jesus-loving, freedom-fighting, God-fearing group of people that came together in March of 2020, and we did it to flatten the curve, and we're still going.
Yeah.
Still going strong. So we'd love to have you join us anytime. For those of you that already support our ministry, thank you so much. We couldn't do what we do without you. Genuinely appreciate you, love you. We're there for you. If you have any prayer requests, any of you, please write to robertschulerministries@gmail.com and let us know, you know, what's on your heart, what you need prayer for. Okay.
Well, if it's the 15th of the month, 6 p.m. Pacific time, it's time for the call.
Yes.
And we'll be here again October 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, talking about with a great guest, an MD, and he'll talk about health myths. And he'll probably, you know, have some things to say that it might be kind of, wow, eye-opening. Like, okay, all right, I didn't know that about the flu shot, or I didn't know that about eggs, or I didn't know that about milk, or I didn't know that about vegetables or protein or any number of things. Heart disease. Yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge. Great guy. Okay.
So we will see you next month. Have a great night. Yes. And God loves you, and so do we.
Yes, he does.
He is blessing you.
Yes.